This is Mary Rose Roberts. I am joined by retired Chief Jeff Johnson, who, among other roles, is one of the profession's staunchest advocates for a nationwide public broadband network. Part of the battle is the allocation of the D-block, something Johnson believes fire chiefs should care about. Thank you for joining us, Chief.
Thank you, Mary Rose.
My first question is, public safety has been lobbying for a nationwide broadband system. You yourself have worked in your state's projects towards wireless. Why are you such an advocate?
Well, today, nationally, there's over 55,000 separate licenses issued to public safety entities between police, fire, and EMS. And it is ludicrous to think that the past practice of issuing individual licenses is going to create anything different than what we have today. And that's a patchwork of systems, some of which are interoperable, but most are not. So we really need to rethink the entire approach. And, you know, the best way to think about this is when you get off an airplane in another city, do you expect your cell phone to work? And the answer is yes. Now, why does it work? Not because it's interoperable. It works because it's on a single national network. And that's what public safety needs. It doesn't obviate the need to have your own system. At least today, that's not necessary. I think what it does, though, is it sets up a single network that recognizes all our devices and creates a freeway for our communications regardless of where we are in the nation. And that's really the inevitable path forward.
You often testify on the Hill about D-block allocation. Are federal officials starting to warm to your message?
Yes, we've had a lot of success, but, you know, there's a lot of interest. Spectrum is the one thing I know of that's more valuable than oil and diamonds. And as the shortage of spectrum increases with the advent of wireless devices, you know, iPads and iPhones and Blackberries, the spectrum shortage becomes more and more acute. Given that, the price for spectrum and the value of spectrum goes up. So, yeah, our message is being heard, and people are finding favor with our vision of a national network with the 20 megahertz of spectrum. But there's great debate over whether we should be allocated that spectrum directly or whether that should be given, sold to a cell phone company with specific expectations on it that they accommodate public safety. So there's at least two or three camps on what should happen, but we continue to gain traction. A year ago, people thought if we were a patient, they'd be putting a toe tag on us. And today, we enjoy the support of the Obama administration. We have three separate bills, if not more, on the Hill supporting direct allocation. And we have found favor with a lot of senators and congressmen.
Is there any truth to the rumor that the House Energy and Commerce Committee on Communications and Technology will be considering a proposal to not allocate the D-block broadband spectrum to public safety?
We have heard that the Energy and Commerce Subcommittee was contemplating holding a hearing, and that the results of that hearing would be to not allocate the D-block to public safety. That doesn't mean we're dead. It just means the subcommittee could potentially take that action. We did hear that, and the public safety community has been mobilized on that specific issue for about the last 2 weeks. The fact that a hearing has not occurred, I think, speaks well for our ability to mobilize and to get our message out there. But at the end of the day, there are a lot of economic pressures on the Hill, and we're going to have to work harder than we've ever worked on any other issue, given these economic times, to have our message heard. And this issue is going to be a challenge. It's a big issue. It's a big initiative, a critical initiative, and eventually a cost-saving initiative. But today, we're in the fight for our lives on this issue, and we should expect that.
Speaking of cost, is it realistic to build out this network or win it, given the fears the nation is entering into this double-dip recession?
Yes, it is. Feasible, and frankly, it's even logical, even given our economic times. Again, you take a look at the amount of money that we have historically spent to create interoperability amongst 55,000 separate licenses on six different spectrums, and we still don't have a nationwide network 10 years after September 11th. So, you know, we're either going to continue to pursue the flawed policies of the past in terms of creating true interoperability, or we're going to copy what the cell phone companies have done and create a single national network. If it was more cost effective to issue a bunch of separate licenses nationally, the cell phone companies would have done that, but it's not more cost effective. Having a single national network is the most cost effective way, and the fact is that you're going to see a migration to internet protocol and radio over internet protocol technologies. It's inevitable. Everything we're touching has digital technology built into it. So I think it is inevitable. And unfortunately, this is not an issue of when can we do it. The reason the D-Block is available for us is because of the digital TV conversion. So what that means is when the FCC had everybody convert to HDTV and required you to either have an HD-capable TV or get a converter box, that vacated the D-Block from a former TV station. It's either going to come to us or it's going to go to somebody else. No one is going to leave this digital farmland unplowed. Someone is going to be growing crops on that in the future. So once it's gone forever. And this is the only slice of spectrum that lays right beside the piece of ground that we have in the public safety broadband spectrum, which is 10 megahertz. And then the D block is contiguous to us with an additional 10.
How would a nationwide broadband network help fire chiefs, let's say on a daily basis, weekly basis? How would it change their jobs or improve their jobs?
Well, first and foremost, the D-Block allocation and this national architecture we're talking about, first and foremost, it would be data first and eventually migrate to voice over internet protocol on a broadband system. So here's how it would affect us today. The first thing it would do is when you create a national network is it will draw industry, it'll draw innovation, applications, software, and devices intended to operate on a broadband public safety network. Today, when you're spread out in six different spectrums and all these separate licenses, we don't draw the kind of applications and innovation that have occurred in the cell market because there's no single approach. So the first thing is, it is going to draw innovation that makes us more efficient. If we want to get into some of the specifics of what that looks like, well, what it looks like is it creates a non-commercial or a mission-critical level system in broadband that is high speed and dedicated to public safety folks for things like uploading and downloading video from the field. It could enable an incident commander to drop three remote cameras on the three quarters of a fire building that you can't see and stream those wirelessly into the incident command vehicle. It would allow us to view traffic cameras wirelessly so that we can see the magnitude of a motor vehicle accident before we dispatch. It could allow true real-time uploading and downloading of security cameras inside a fire building and building diagrams and hazardous materials inventories in real time. But, you know, while our industry does some of these things on the fire side, it does them over commercial networks, which will shut down, as we saw from the earthquake in D.C., when you have a major event. And I haven't even touched on the innovations that happen in EMS with the ability to transmit patient information and real-life sense and feel kind of vital information to emergency rooms. Between applications and those two categories, the options are endless.
And a final question, why should fire chiefs join you in lobbying for this D-Block?
Well, fire chiefs, police chiefs, all chiefs, EMS chiefs, they should join this because this is a one-time opportunity. We don't get to let this go by and pick up the chant in two more years when things are better. It's now or never. And they should join us because this is the future of public safety communications. We can embrace it, and we will see more capable, lower-priced devices, or we can let it slide on by, and we can continue to have a very small market with higher price, less functional proprietary devices, and that's not going to serve us well. If you take a look at where we were 15 years ago with communications, and then take a look at the iPod or the iPhone in your hand, you must marvel at the kind of capability that's happened in the last 10 years. Experts tell us that the last 10 years are going to pale by comparison to the next 10 years. We don't want to be stuck on a horse during this race. And frankly, the technology approach that we have today doesn't enable us to embrace the future and a lot of the kind of things that are out there. The only way we're going to be able to do it is on a commercial network, and they will crash during a major event. They're designed for daily flow, not peak flow.
Thank you for your insights today, Chief. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mary Rose.